The Titans of Trial podcast is sponsored by the Florida Justice Association Research and Education Foundation, promoting the study and understanding of Florida's civil justice system and how its preservation benefits consumers, victims, and all Floridians. Learn more at floridajusticeassociation.org.
From the Florida Justice Association, these are the Titans of Trial.
There are no greater natural highs and natural lows than being a trial lawyer. I've said it's the closest thing to being in church. I mean, it's one of those great, great rewards where you get to help people and you feel like you have made a difference in their life.
Howard Coker, one of Florida's elite trial lawyers, talks about his career and his concern about the profession of law.
I see signs that the law has become business as opposed to a profession. I don't look at things purely from a profit loss standpoint. I look at things from the standpoint of, have I done the right thing? Have we done the right thing? Have we helped people? Those are the standards that I really am concerned with. I've always felt like if you do a good job, the money takes care of itself, and it has.
And the advice he shares with fellow lawyers in his many writings and presentations on ethics.
Lawyers who try to coast or slide, as I say, who try to make a point when the law is against them, I think they do themselves a great disservice. And you only get to cross that line one time with me, and you're always on the other side of the line after that.
Welcome to Titans of Trial, featuring the personal stories of the men and women who've made a difference to the practice of trial law in Florida. I'm Paul Jess, Executive Director of the Florida Justice Association. Howard Coker of Jacksonville is a trial lawyer with a teacher's heart. From that one morning in the fourth grade when he woke up and declared he wanted to be a trial lawyer, he also very much wanted to be an athletic coach. In his law career, he's created the perfect blend of his two huge talents. He's been recognized with the Mickey Smiley Award, given by the Florida Justice Association, for the terrific amount of counsel he's given to newer lawyers throughout his four decades plus career. Along the way, he's also won just about every other award there is, including the Perry Nichols Award, this association's most prestigious, along with the B.J. Masterson Award for Professionalism and High Ethical Standards. He's also a past president, not only of this association, but also a past president of the Florida Bar. Howard Coker sat down with Florida Justice Association radio host Harvey Bennett in December 2017 to talk about the big cases he's won and the lessons he's learned along the way.
You have a quote you like to use from Julius Caesar that experience is the teacher of all things. And what experience you've got in handling complex personal injury, known as one of Jacksonville's elite trial lawyers, more than 400 jury trials under your belt, thousands of mediated settlements. Wow.
It's been busy and it's a lot of fun. For me, I believe that life's experiences make you smarter every day. You learn something every day that hopefully makes you a better person and a better lawyer.
What are the keys to your success in that regard?
I think hard work, determination, and the willingness to engage in a trial are all parts that have helped me become what I am today.
Now, one of the cases that I remember having lived here in Jacksonville was the Hips Road landfill case, where you had a landfill polluting the water of residents nearby, and you won that case nearly $18 million. That was a big, big deal here.
It was a big, big deal, and it was a six-year concerted effort with a law firm that I believe had 410 lawyers at the time, and 396 of them were chasing us. And it was a situation where many firms had turned the case down, but we undertook it and we were successful and prevailed. It took 6 years and they were long, hard years, but the outcome for the residents of that particular area where the groundwater runoff had been polluted, babies were deformed. It was a terrible situation, terrible situation.
And you love those public interest cases, don't you?
I do. Any cause that needs to be undertaken, I'm willing to try it.
Take us back. What made you want to be a lawyer? You're a Gator, by the way.
I am a Gator, a double Gator, undergraduate and law school. What made me be a lawyer? I don't know. I woke up one morning, I was in the fourth grade, and I said, I'm going to be a trial lawyer. And from that point forward, I never hesitated. I just marched on, and I became a trial lawyer. And 40 years later, I'm still a trial lawyer.
Howard, what were the most important influences in your life growing up?
My mother, because she taught me the value of hard work. And I had a basketball coach who taught me that determination and discipline can take you a long way. He also believed that preparation was a key to winning. And those things have lived with me for a long time.
I was going to say, you're big on stressing preparation to young lawyers, aren't you?
I believe that failing to prepare is preparing to fail.
If you hadn't become a lawyer, what do you think you would have done instead?
I'd have been a coach.
And you are a coach.
I don't know if I could have afforded it, but that's what I'd have been.
Well, you are a coach in a way. You've written and presented a lot about professionalism and ethics. You've won every single Florida Justice Association award. I think they give the Perry Nichols Award, which is FJA's most prestigious, given to an attorney whose, you know, perseverance, the commitment, dedication to the civil justice system, the BJ Masterson Award for high ethical standards. But ethics are a big deal. What do you share most about ethics with those who you present before?
I believe that your word is your bond. And then if you ever lie one time, people don't forget it. So I believe in being straightforward. Sometimes people call it hard-nosed, but that's the way I approach everything.
And it served you well.
It has served me very, very well. Sometimes people say I'm blunt, but I just believe in telling the truth. And I don't like people who lie.
You mentioned your mom and your basketball coach. Mm-hmm. Did you have a mentor in law?
Yeah, there was a fellow by the name of Mal Kirby of the old Howell Kirby firm, and that's where I started on the civil side. And he was very, very good to me. He gave me opportunity, and he gave me the mentoring I needed to become a skilled lawyer.
How did you go about honing those trial skills?
I tried a lot of cases, and I've never had a trial that I didn't learn something. And unfortunately, I can say this, I learned the most in the cases I lost. It's easy to declare yourself a winner and think you do everything right. But when you taste the bitterness of defeat, you really examine yourself to see how you can become better.
How helpful or hurtful can that self-reflection be?
Well, I've always found the hurtfulness to be short-term and the helpfulness to be long-term.
To you as a plaintiff's attorney, what is the most rewarding part of that job?
Helping people. I think sometimes we really get an opportunity to make a difference in somebody's life. I've said it's the closest thing to being in church. I mean, it's one of those great, great rewards where you get to help people and you feel like you have made a difference in their life.
What other things are important to you?
My family. My family is very important. The people that I work with are very important. I have partners that have been my partners for 40 years. It's like another marriage. We have a lot of people here who have been with us 20 and 30 years, and they're family. They're my extended family. And so my family and my extended family are very critical to me.
Let's talk about the business part of the profession, because it is a very tough profession, becoming more competitive every single day. Can you share some of the secrets to your day-to-day success?
Yes, I think one of the things that I have preached long and hard is every case has a value, and you can never settle for less than the full value of the case. I see people make settlements for economic reasons to their law firm, and to me, that is degrading. Our lawyers are taught that the value of the case is what the number should be to settle the case. And we believe very firmly in that. And it's probably why we wind up trying so many cases.
And winning so many cases,
you're
too.
Kind.
But you have lost some, as all trial lawyers have. Tell me, how do you handle disappointment?
Let me say this. If you try enough cases, you lose some, you should win. And you win some, you should lose. Disappointment is a terrible thing. I lost a case one time for a lady, and went back to my office, closed the door, and actually wept. And the next day she sent a bouquet of flowers, and I wept again. So that's all part of it, I think.
Yeah.
It's a great experience. My experience traveling the road of trial law has been a wonderful, wonderful experience.
It sounds like it's been cathartic in a way.
It has. It absolutely. You reach, there are no greater natural highs and natural lows than being a trial lawyer.
Is that what keeps you going?
You know, I don't know. I've reflected on that at this point in my life, and I love what I do, and I love the competitiveness of what we do. And I think that's what keeps me going, along with I have some tremendous young lawyers here that I really enjoy working with and mentoring.
And you've been doing it for 45 years now as we sit here and record this in late 2017.
That's a fact. Long time.
Is there one particular case that you'll never forget or that was most significant to you looking back so far?
Well, the case that I like to think about, and it's not because of the monetary significance of it, is a case called Nash versus Wells Fargo, which went up to the Supreme Court. And a lot of lawyers are still using that case on the plaintiff side. And there have been, you know, significant money verdicts, but that's not really, for me, what it's about. I like the winning. I mean, the money's nice, but the winning's really important.
What is it about that Nash versus Wells Fargo case that is significant to you?
The Nash versus Wells Fargo case is significant because I argued it in the Supreme Court with another lawyer in the firm, and I don't think anybody thought we had much of a chance on it, and the Supreme Court came down and established some good plaintiff's law.
How has your involvement with the Florida Justice Association impacted your career?
It's had a significant impact on my career. Simply put, what it has shown me is that a small group of dedicated people can make a difference in the lives of the citizens of Florida. They're brothers and sisters in arms. We're constantly helping one another. New techniques at work, we share with one another. Yes, it's a competitive business, but I found that some of the most giving and kind people are my fellow trial lawyers.
Mm-hmm. And a lot of wisdom you pick up along the way as you share and collaborate. Any words of wisdom in particular that have proven true to you along your journey as a trial lawyer?
I'd say to thine own self be true. That's kind of the way I look at it. If you know every day when you get up, you look in the mirror, you're happy with the way you've handled things and that you've helped people and not hurt anybody, that's important.
This is a tough profession as well on family. How do you balance your professional life with your family life?
That, for me, in the early stages, was the hardest thing to balance. It was difficult. I had an understanding wife. It was nothing to go to work at 6 in the morning, come home, eat dinner with my family, and go back from 7 to 10 at night. And I had an understanding wife. I like to think that most people today are a little more balanced than I was back then. Today, any opportunity I have to share with my family doing anything, I take advantage of it.
What's your view on the legal profession today? Do you have concerns going forward?
I have concerns in that I see signs that the law has become business as opposed to a profession. And I think that treating it as a profession is a much more noble way to go about things. I don't look at things purely from a profit loss standpoint. I look at things from the standpoint of, have I done the right thing? Have we done the right thing? Have we helped people? Those are the standards that I really am concerned with. I've always felt like if you do a good job, the money takes care of itself, and it has.
We've talked about the law. Let's talk ethics again, and we visited that because, again, you've written and presented a lot about ethics. Do the ends sometimes justify the means?
Never. Never. There's a right way and a wrong way.
But what about the fellow at the other side of the table who is making, going into some gray areas, making some shortcuts perhaps? Doesn't that give a competitive advantage?
All that does for me is inspire me to work harder. If I see that, and it's never forgotten, and you only get to cross that line one time with me, and you're always on the other side of the line after that.
Someone else mentioned that ethics transcends not only the client-lawyer relationship, but also your reputation with fellow lawyers, reputation with judges, that you can end up getting a bad reputation.
You can. Let me say this to you. Lawyers who try to coast or slide, as I say, who try to make a point when the law is against them, I think they do themselves a great disservice, because if they may get away with it once, but if they do it over time, the legal community, the judicial community, they know these individuals, and they're not given much respect.
Part of what you are known for, especially in the Jacksonville community here, is your contribution to civic organizations, the Jacksonville Zoo and Gardens, Literacy Projects, Spina Bifida, just a whole range of things. How important is that for especially newer lawyers who may be listening to keep that in mind?
I think we have an obligation as a profession, and it's somewhat tired to say give back, but I believe that we have a responsibility to our profession to be involved in our community. I think lawyers are respected for their work in different endeavors, helping the community in benevolent ways. I enjoy it. It gives me a great deal of satisfaction. And I think anybody that got involved in it would find it as satisfying.
What one piece of advice do you have for incoming lawyers?
Your word is your bond. And that's pretty simple with me. If you work hard and your word is your bond, I'm going to get along fine with you.
Are you going to be successful with clients too?
You will be. I think clients know when people really are sincere, when they really know that they have a lawyer or a law firm who really care about them. Mm-hmm. And that's the approach you get here. When you come, you meet the lawyers, the paralegal, the investigator, you meet everybody that's going to be involved in your case.
Do juries pick up on that too?
I think so. I think juries are looking for someone to believe that they find credible and who has integrity.
Howard, how would you like to be remembered?
I'd like to be remembered as a good soldier on life's highway.
Howard Coker, you are a titan of trial. Thank you.
You're a good man, Harvey. Thank you. I've enjoyed being here with you today.
This is Paul Jess. We hope you enjoyed listening to this Titans of Trial episode. If you're not already a member, we'd like to invite you to join the Florida Justice Association. Please visit us on the web at floridajusticeassociation.org or drop us a line at radio@floridajusticeassociation.org.
Thank you for listening to this Titans of Trial podcast, sponsored by the Florida Justice Association Research and Education Foundation, promoting the study and understanding of Florida's civil justice system and how its preservation benefits consumers, victims, and all Floridians. Learn more at floridajusticeassociation.org.